Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. And this is on page 1376 in your pew Bibles. Hear God's holy word as it's read. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I'll give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. Thus far the reading from God's holy word. Thanks be to God. Well, here we are, 2023, living in a time, some people say we've never experienced some things before, whether it's as a country or a world. New things. Living at a time when Satan gets front page attention. So how do we respond as Christians? Well, as Christians, let's do together what God's word says and what you taught me and my family. Number one, make sure that when you read a passage, this passage, Matthew 4, any passage of the Bible, that this describes truth and reality. Now, I say that because, not only in a newspaper article, but in other ways, there are people who will question the Bible. There are others who just simply deny it. They'll question the Bible. They'll say, "Is there a real devil? Is there a real Satan? Is there a real evil one?" Okay, so there are people, like the article said, the satanic minister said, "We don't believe and I don't teach a real devil, a real Satan." We use that as, that term as imagery for inclusion, other kinds of things. I can only tell you that the first thing that I get out of this passage of Scripture is that there is a real devil. And that when Jesus there, when he was hungry, understandably so, in the wilderness after that high point of being in the water for baptism, and he is tempted by the devil. In fact, in this passage of Scripture, Matthew writes about the devil, the devil, the devil. And then Jesus identifies who the devil is, Satan. This is real. I know that we live in an era where some academics or others will sort of try to downplay this reality. And they'll say, well, Jesus was just famished. He was hungry. He was thirsty. He was just imagining things. When he heard that question, "If you are the Son of God," if God had just said it at the end of chapter 3. I mean, it's right here. There's no question about a voice from heaven said, "This is Jesus Baptist. This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." The real Satan, the real devil comes to Jesus and he says, "If you are." What's this if business? He's not if. It's a fact. It makes us think of Genesis 1, text, context again. When the devil came, the serpent came. that ancient serpent, Revelation 20 says, the devil or Satan, came and said to Eve and to Adam, did God really say? I mean, is it true? Is it real? And we come back to this, that this is a real devil with a real temptation to Jesus. We're going to start there because that's exactly what happens. The devil comes. He says, first of all, he wants to plant a seed of doubt, if you are the Son of God. And then Satan even quotes Scripture. The devil is so, so cunning. He'll take the words of the Bible and he'll twist them or plant seeds of doubt. Did God really say this? Did he really say, you are my son? Did he really say, don't eat of the tree? This is a real devil with a real temptation. If that example's not enough, going back to Genesis 1, just you and I could talk to Job. The devil's mentioned already, and Satan mentioned Job chapter 1 and 2. Or we can talk to the apostle or the disciple John, the writer of Revelation, as well as the gospel and the letters. And there he talks about the ancient serpent, the devil and Satan, thrown into the lake of fire. The reality is this. There's a real devil with real temptation. The writer of Hebrews talks about this a couple times, that Jesus was made like us in every way. Not just the Son of God, but fully man. We just celebrated that again at Christmas. And Hebrews said he was made like us in every way except for sin, to defeat the devil and the power of death. Christian, don't be misled. Don't be distracted. There's a real devil. He's like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. That's the first thing that jumps out at me at this passage of Scripture. There's a real devil tempting Jesus. And now we have to get to Jesus. He was really tempted. He was tempted to sin, to disobey, to show that really he wasn't the Son of God, perfect and holy. He was sinful just like you and I. He couldn't be our Savior then. There's a real devil with a real Jesus who faced real temptation. This is important that we underscore that Jesus said no to temptation. He said no. He would take, and he took the word of God himself. And he knew it was true, and it was right. And the word of God is not supposed to be used to mislead us away from God to disobey, but to obey the Lord. Jesus was really tempted, as we are, but he didn't sin. Why? To be our Savior. And that is so important, again, that we continue to proclaim Jesus as Savior. He's been tempted, no matter what you and I go through, what we went through this year, or what we're going to face next year. Jesus has been tempted. The devil has come to him. And he said no. He said, not just here, but there are other places where Satan might come to Jesus, especially leading up to the cross, especially on the cross. And yet Jesus never sinned. Why? He did it for you and for me. Not just to identify with our temptations, although that's true. He became like us in every way except for sin. When we're tempted, Jesus knows that. But he didn't sin, because he took all of our sins on himself on the cross. And he went to the tomb. And then he was raised from the dead to defeat death, Satan. And he did that for you and for me. I can't underscore this enough. Because sometimes when we experience the challenges and the situations in life, we may wonder, Jesus, have you ever gone through this? Were you ever, and then fill in the blanks, like I am right now? And the answer is yes. Tempted in every way as we are, but he didn't sin, for you and for me. And that includes facing death itself. That includes facing, for all those names that were listed. By the way, one of those names, well, more than one name I recognize there. I don't know if they're the same people. But again, facing death itself, going through the valley of the shadow of death. I'll fear no evil, for you are with me, Psalm 23 says. Jesus is the one who said, a real Jesus, who said, I'll be with you always to the end of the age. It was God who said, not just to someone in the past like Joshua, but for us too, I'll never leave or forsake you. It's the Apostle Paul who says in Romans 8 that not even death itself will ever separate us from the love of Christ, the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus, this is the real Jesus, the real Savior, the one and only way to the Father who was really tempted. That jumps out in this passage of Scripture as well. And so for us, well, how are we going to respond to this? Number one, pay attention to what's going on in your life and in our lives locally as well. Not just away from us, not just in Washington, D.C., not just around the world, but right here as well. That when Satan comes, whether through an ordained minister or through the Satanic Bible or through people, a growing community, the article said, here in West Michigan, or if you live in Kent, Ottawa, or Allegan counties, and that's most of you right here, most of us, how to respond? This is not to frighten you. This is to encourage you. Number one, make sure that you realize you're in a spiritual battle and that we need spiritual tools, just like the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, the armor of God. And make sure you have the Word of God, the Bible. Make sure you know it, you memorize it, and you read it and you reread it. And now I'm not saying anything new to you, because that's what you said to me and to us. You said, make sure that as new Christians, you read the Bible. We don't know the Bible. Read the Bible. The Bible's the inspired Word of God, the Apostle Paul says it in Timothy. And it's profitable. It's not a waste of time. Never a waste of time. It's profitable for teaching, reproving, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man and woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. If we're going to engage in this spiritual warfare against principalities and powers, as Ephesians 6 says, we need to know the Bible. We need to come back to the Bible. And now I know I'm dating myself, maybe. But one of the things that changed in my family's life I'll never forget is a tool. It's a tool. The family altar. How many of you remember the name family altar? It's the Today devotional. Oh, you're raising your hands. Okay, more. We were given that. They're probably available somewhere right here. Anyway, this is a devotional tool. Use it. Every day you could use it. Now, you can set out for yourself your Bible reading pattern and so forth, but this was underscored. There are too many Christians who are probably just too lazy to read. They think preacher reading the Word and from Matthew 4, that's good enough. That certainly is a great start. But you and I need to read the Scriptures. We need to memorize the Scriptures. That's what Jesus did here. He showed he knew the Scriptures. And he quoted from the Old Testament. If we're going to, no, because we're engaged in spiritual warfare, make sure you know the Bible and read it and memorize it and pass it on to your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. That's why you're here in 2023 and 24. These Scriptures are able to make you wise unto salvation. It's not just going through a good habit. This is the Word of God that continues to speak to us so that we can say no to temptation. The Bible. Number two, another tool, if that's the right word to use, a response on our part. is what Jesus later in the Gospel of Matthew said. Pray this way. When you say what we call the Lord's Prayer, or other Christians say our Father's Prayer, whether it's in Matthew or it's in Luke, deliver us from the evil one, evil and evil one, is right there. In fact, in the Gray Songbook right now in front of you, if you were to take it out and I were to say to you, you turn to the last Lord's Day, 52, and you look at the word, is the word evil or are the words evil one? It's the evil one. Now, it can be translated both ways. But the point is, prayer is important as we are delivered by God and His leading and guiding from Satan, from the evil one. The prayer piece is important because later on in Matthew and in Luke, Jesus teaches His disciples how to pray. And He teaches them that prayer. Deliver us from the evil one. Because when we pray, and of course, the Apostle Paul, in talking about the armor of God, he talks about, you know, prayer being so vital and essential because prayer connects us to the power of God. Again, Christians, right now, we don't need Christians who are lazy. We need Christians who are paying attention to what's going on. And there are powerful people of prayer because there's power in prayer. He is able to do immeasurably more than all that you ask or imagine according to His power that is at work within us. I didn't dream that up. That's what the Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians. He is able to do immeasurably. We can't do this on our own. It's the Word of God. And then prayer connects us to Jesus Himself, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus goes on to talk about when you pray persistently, when you pray this way in faith, trusting in me, God will give His grace and His Holy Spirit to those who pray. This is not a time for the Christian church to back off and be quiet or even be frightened. This is a time to be a praying community because in prayer, there's power, God's power, in saying no to the evil one. And then finally, this passage ends up with, then the devil left him and angels came and attended him. A lot more could be said about all these temptations. But please note this, that Jesus received the community that His Father wanted Him to have. Angels came, real angels came and attended Him. A community that God provides. Where can we find a community of believers that God provides for such a time as this? May I, with humble confidence, say here at Faith Community that this is a place where people need to come who are facing temptation, who are thinking of giving in to sin and Satan, that this is a place, a community, where God wants people who have gone through temptation to be served, to be attended, to be built up. Little wonder that you taught me going through the catechism in terms of what do we believe about the Holy Catholic Church, the Apostles' Creed? Keep your church strong and add to it. Or other Lord's Days and already that I've read. Keep your church strong. This is a time for Faith Community Christian Reformed Church. At the end of one year, on the cusp of another year, to see who is really important, Jesus. What's really important to be the kind of community that will say no to temptation and that will be the kind of community that will envelop and invite others to come here, be here, no matter what you're going through. God wants His people to be tended to with the community that He wants. Remember always that you are the body of Christ. Again, I didn't dream that up. That's what Paul writes about. The church as the body of Christ. A living, vibrant, active, saying no to the devil, body, where other people can come and be tended to the way that God wants them to. Well, that's the sermon today that I'm delivering, but it has to be lived out now. It's not the end of the sermon. I can only tell you that at least one ordained minister of the Satanic Temple of Western Michigan has said this is a growing community for the Satanic Temple. Be alert. Watch out. Don't be frightened. Be ready to say, "Get behind me, Satan." When you have the Word of God leading and guiding, when you have the power of God living at you because you're a community of prayer and you are a community receiving others who are going through these times and encouraging them to be the kind of person and Christian that Jesus wants them to be. Deliver us from the evil one. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to read the Bible again. Help us never to take for granted the Bible. So many of us as Christians, Lord, we've been around it so long, it just seems like we've always had it. Help us to pay attention for such a time as this too. Lord, as Satan comes in a variety of ways to tempt us, help us to say no to him. And it's all because of you, not because of ourselves, but because of you. And Lord, we know that you will give us what we need. And when we fall, and we do, we're imperfect right now, but Lord, help us to realize there's forgiveness. And Jesus, you saved us from all of our sins. And help us then to become more and more the kind of people you want us to be. Not lazy, not backing off, not ashamed of the gospel, but always powerfully trusting in you to lead and guide us. Because Jesus, you're coming again. We look forward to that time and that day. And may we hear you say to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy prepared for you before the foundation of the world in the new heavens and the new earth." Lord, we know this is not a dream. We're not imagining this. This is the truth, because you are the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus. No one comes to the Father except through you. All this we pray in our Savior's name, and all God's people say, Amen. Amen. Okay, the song we're going to sing, you're going